You are listening to the Charles Bonnet Syndrome podcast. My name is Shimon Foy, and today we have a special guest. Her name is Tanya Straker. Tanya Straker was a caregiver, and she has heart for caregivers. She actually runs a caregiver support group, and she does many other interesting things that we'll get into today. So, Tanya, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, and I really, really appreciate that you are allowing me to be a guest on your podcast. So thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. No problem. It's really great to have you here. And I actually know Tanya because I actually am a caregiver for someone with Charles Bonnet syndrome. And I felt like I needed some more support. So I did some research online and I was looking for some caregivers groups. And I actually came across her caregivers group, and she's a great leader and runs the group well. And she has a lot of interesting things to say. So I wanted to bring her on the show. And I will say that although her caregiving experience, I'll definitely let her talk, but her experience was caring for someone who did not have Charles Bonnet. There are a lot of things that are universal for caregivers that can be shared, a lot of tips and a lot of commonalities. So I figured I would have her come on here to just share some insight and to just spread some, you know, some hope and give some information. So Tanya, can you tell me a little bit about your caregiving journey and how that all went about?
So I stepped into the caregiver role 3 times. The second time, I had gotten what for me was the perfect job, the job that I'd been wanting for years. It had the right job title. I moved back to New York thinking that I would move into the family home and I would help my mother age in place. I thought I was going to help her do grocery shopping and write out some checks and have her visit her friends, only to find out once I was here that she was further in cognitive decline than I was aware of from just talking to her over the phone or coming to see her every once in a while. So as soon as I came to New York, I recognized that she was going to need a lot more care and that my role here was going to be different from what I had expected. But I did not think of myself as a caregiver. I just thought of myself as a daughter. And I probably did not even understand that I had stepped into this universal role of caregiving until after she passed. It was after she passed that I sat down and said, "What just happened to my life?" And I began to understand I began to inform myself and wanted to then share information with other caregivers and share a platform for other caregivers so that they could have a better experience through that phase of their life. So, yeah, I stepped into the role just like most people, just going, "Oh, I'm just going to help out a little bit."
It's amazing how in life things happen to us and we actually will turn that around into a message or a mission. And you actually took what happened to you and said you want to offer a support group for other people. Can you share a little bit about that support group, what it's called and how long it's been around and how it's evolved over the years?
So at the time that COVID hit, I got up one morning and I thought, I can write a book. Didn't know I was going to write a book, but I wrote a book and it's called 6 Life Hacks for Family Caregivers, Be Your Own Coach and Beat Burnout. And I wrote that book because a lot of the tips that are given to caregivers are kind of the general, you know, self-care. You need to take care of yourself. You need to step away from the role. And I'm not saying that those things aren't helpful, but I felt that there were specific things that I did to support me because my entire life changed, right? I stepped away from my job. I didn't have an income. I sold my house, you know, so much of my life had changed that I wanted to share how I rethought about my life so that I could be an effective caregiver. So I wrote a book called 6 Life Hacks. But life hack number 7 was simply create friendships. Having friends who were caregivers, who I didn't have to explain the challenges, who I didn't have to explain what it felt like to be isolated, who I didn't feel who could connect with that aspect of my life, was critical. That was one of the great joys during my caregiving years, and it still continues to be a great joy of my life. So since hack number 7 was create friendships, I started a group, what I call a social networking group for caregivers, because I wanted to distinguish that we weren't going to focus on a particular diagnosis. We wasn't necessarily going to support individuals who were caring for someone with diabetes, I was going to say. I was meant to say dementia, but it doesn't matter. I wasn't going to be giving resource information. I really wanted to connect caregivers to remember who they were and to create friendships. And coming up on my 200th meeting very soon, and it's just been incredibly supportive for me as well as for the individuals who have joined us over the last few years. I don't even know how long that 200 meetings is.
That's amazing. 200 meetings. And think about all the people that you've helped. And one thing about helping people is you get help too. You learn from people, and it's gratifying, and it's somehow it goes both ways. So you taught me a lot of good things. And one thing that comes to my mind that I've learned from your meeting is you were saying when you're in a particularly difficult place as a caregiver, and sometimes you can't change the situation that you're in, you said reflect on a happy memory or a happy time in your life. And even if it's just for a few moments or a few minutes, that can be relief. And I mean, that's the way I took it. You may explain it differently, but that was really nice. And most people have at least some happy memories that they can look back on. And that's something that stood out for me. Can you share some other tips or some workshops or things that you do in your meeting?
Well, one of the things that we do is we just start out with a word of the day and allowing individuals to reflect on what that word means. So this is just going to talk a little bit about why I think this particular group is effective, is that by allowing people to reflect on whatever the word of the day is, they can speak to whatever's on their heart. So someone may say, I just took a test and I passed it, and they can be, enthusiastic about it. Someone else might say, I'm sorry to inform everyone that my mom just passed, and that there's room for everyone. So I'm not actually answering your question directly. I promise I'll get to it. But it is one of the things that I really appreciate about this Coffee with Caregivers group, is there's space for everyone to be who they are, where they are at that time, and not needing to show up happy if you're not feeling happy, not having to then squash your own enjoyment because someone else is going through a difficult space. And that's the intent I had. And I'm just always so appreciative to know that I was able, that the group, the people who come to the group can create that kind of space for each other. When I think about what tips I would have for caregivers when they're going through a difficult time, I'm thinking about a meeting that we had recently. Someone asked a similar question, and she was talking about, actually, her mother has passed, and she hasn't been able to move to the next phase of her life, and she's really struggling. And what do I do when I'm depressed? I said, well, go to sleep. Don't fight it. So one of the skills, the human being skills that I developed for myself through this caregiving experience, is to not miss anything. What I learned is if I'm feeling down, to allow myself to feel down. The ability that you want to grow within yourself is not to stay down there, but you don't want to miss it either. That if you're feeling grief, if you're feeling sad, to allow yourself to be there, the skill is to be able to move out of it. And that's, I do a lot of mindset practices. That's what's in my book. I talk about, I kind of walk people through what it was like to change my mindset from, you know, just being aware that anytime I got annoyed, to be able to say to myself, well, why, I don't want to be annoyed right now, to be able to shift my mind self and my emotional state from one state to the other, is one of the, I'd say that's one of the gifts and the practices that I gave myself as a caregiver. And then that's what I try when I do workshops for caregivers or in the Coffee with Caregivers group. I'm always creating exercises to give people the experience of doing things differently, changing their mindset, reminding, giving them the opportunity to keep growing as a leader, as a human being, as a daughter, as a caregiver, as a wife. It's really about connecting to who we are as human beings and using caregiving to grow through that experience. That's one of the things that I'm an advocate for.
Okay, that sounds great. And you mentioned that your group is called Coffee with Caregivers. And you mentioned, can you let people know how they can join the group or find out about the group and when the meetings are held?
So it's right now we meet on Tuesday mornings at 8:30, which is, of course, not good for everyone. But right now that's when we meet. And for more information, you can go to TanyaStraker.com. I have that listed on my web. I don't know if it's much of a website, but it's a web page where I say a little bit about me, and there's a connection to the group Coffee with Caregivers.
I'll make sure that I put your website in the show notes and some information about your group. So I know you do other things too to help people balance their life out, and in particular caregivers. Can you mention some other things that you're involved in?
So one of the things that I've been working on for the last year was how to bring, I have a particular love of using Carl Jung's theories about cognitive differences and bringing that to for people to understand more about themselves. And I've been developing a course that could help caregivers in particular understand about themselves. So for instance, I have a particular preference. It is natural. It is natural for me to be analytical in my professional work world. I did a lot of strategic planning, helping groups, you know, envision the future and to help them take the actions that would get them to their future, right? But it's a very kind of heady work. And that's who I am. As a caregiver, it was a little, when I was stepping into the caregiver role, it was a little uncomfortable for me because I admired people like my mom who were naturally expressive. She was always looking after the old, she would always call it the old people. My mother took care of all the old people on the block, and she took care of all the old people in the family, and she was always sending out cards, and she was always on the phone. And she was always making sure everyone was okay. I wasn't that kind of person, and I didn't see myself as a full-time caregiver, able to give that kind of warm care to other people. So I had this idea about who I was and what my gifts were, and how was I, when I stepped into the role after her second stroke and I stepped into the full-time role, how was I going to do this, right? How was I going to be good, not just a good daughter, but a good, hands-on caregiver. So I did, you know, knowing that my gift is more planning, envisioning future, you know, creating steps, I entered the caregiving role from exactly where I was. I didn't worry about what wasn't my natural gift, but thought about, well, how do I take who I am and step into this role? So I made a plan. My plan was, a year from now, I want my mother and I to laugh. I want us to have lots of laughs over the next year. Now, my mother was aphasic. She was bedbound. She had rheumatoid arthritis. She had dementia. She was in a lot of pain. But I made I made a determination and intention that I was not going to be so anxious about what I didn't know how to do, that I wasn't going to get the chance to enjoy some of that time that we were going to have together. So I think, so now what I want to do with this information about cognitive styles is have different caregivers understand more about themselves, honor their gifts, and know that they can enter into the role successfully from wherever they are. You don't need to be a certain kind of person to be a great carer. You don't, it doesn't have to look like the way it looks with someone else. You can be yourself. You can have your own opportunities to grow, different things that you're going to learn from. You are okay exactly as who you are, stepping into this role of caring, which is one little mini crisis after another. You're constantly learning. There's so many unknowns. That's just a part of the, that's a part of the being on the care journey. Whoever you are, you can not just provide good care, but you can have a good experience for your life as you are in the role. So my work that I'll be putting out over this year is more work supporting caregivers in understanding their personality types and how to apply that to the different phases of the caregiver journey.
Wow, thank you. And I didn't mention this earlier. I should have mentioned this when you said 8:30 a.m. That's New York time. Eastern Standard Time is when your meetings are currently held. But I do know that you give different other workshops and other information sessions that are at different times. So I guess people can definitely go to your webpage to get some information on that. What would you say to a caregiver that's listening to this podcast that is struggling, having a difficult time helping their loved one?
So again, I would really encourage them to see the caregiving is a role, and it is, and to connect the caregiving role to their life. Now, I'm not saying this is easy to figure out all at once, but it is to understand that, particularly if you're caring for someone with a chronic medical condition, I want to make that distinction. Because I've stepped into the caregiving role and it was quite comfortable. I was just like, well, you know, I'm just being a good daughter to my father. I'm just being a good whatever. It was very different stepping into the role with someone who has a chronic medical condition that was going to continue for an unspecified period of time. And as the primary caregiver, I was stepping into this role that was going to be different than my brother's. And no one was really going to understand what I was experiencing the way I was, right? My brothers certainly were not going to understand what it's like to be in constant concern of, am I doing the right thing? If I don't do this right, is my mother going to pass? Not from her illness, but because I didn't do something, correctly. So it's understanding that this was me being in this role was about, that this was about me growing as a human being as much as this was about what I was doing for someone else. But I think very often what happens is we get seen, you know, oh, you're caring for your mom. Yes, I'm caring for my mom, but my life is being affected. It wasn't until the day that I had an epiphany that, yes, my life has been effective. And no, it's not going the way I thought it would go. It is going this way. How do I mesh these two together? How do I be in the caregiving role and have it work for me so that I'm getting what I want for myself out of life? And what I'm wanting for myself out of life was not the car, was not the money, was not the house. I'd had those things. And did those things really make me happy? Could I really get to the core of who I was, of who I am, and really learn about myself? Could I become the happiest person that I could possibly be in the middle of a difficult situation that I don't really understand and don't even understand how I got here? Could I? So what I'm really talking about here is mindset. And I really set myself out on a journey to change myself in the process of during this time that I was playing this role as caregiver. Now, to be honest, though, I had a lot of tools and I have a lot of background that would allow me to do that. So what I would say to a caregiver who's having a difficult time, who may not have the background that I had, it's to reach out. It's to keep reaching out, to find someone to talk to. You know, don't be afraid of finding a caregiver coach, finding a therapist, taking advantage of all the mental health opportunities that are out there now post-COVID. So I just want to make a comment. One of the things about COVID is people were home and were understanding how difficult it was and how isolating it was. And so all of a sudden, it's in mainstream to be able to talk about needing support of a mental health variety. And I'm thinking that if you're a caregiver, you knew what that felt like, right? What people felt for a little bit during COVID, you may be feeling all the time as a caregiver, because at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're concerned about the person you're caring for. Yes, they said they could stay there by themselves. Yes, you have a camera, but what if something happens and you're not there? So there's this constant, a 24/7, you know, concern. And I would just really encourage every care person to find your tribe, reach out, find a caregiver group, or find someone to talk to one-to-one to support you as a human being, growing as a human being through this phase of life. I really want to encourage you to just really see yourself as growing through the challenges.
Wow. And it was interesting that you said you made a distinction between being a caregiver in a more temporary situation and then when you have a chronic condition. And actually, Charles Bonnet syndrome, which I'll just say in case someone's picking up from this episode and hasn't heard the other episodes, is when you are blind or visually impaired. And because of that, you actually start having silent, often vivid hallucinations. And the situation is, the condition is actually chronic, because some people with therapy or with other situations or mindset set shifts, the hallucinations can go away. But more often than not, we're finding that people will have the hallucinations for 10, 20, 30 years. So if you're caring for someone that has that condition, they may have to take some advice and do some of the things that you mentioned. You may have to shift that mindset, because long lasting is not like if you're running a sprint. It's more like a marathon. So thank you for sharing that.
And if I can thank you for doing this podcast, because podcasts were very helpful for me when I stepped into the carer role. I believe it was years before, I had listened to a podcast, and I listened to a husband and wife had moved to care for the wife's mother when she went into cognitive decline. Perhaps she had Alzheimer's. And what the wife had talked about, what the daughter had talked about on the podcast, was how she watched her husband kind of go along with her mother. So, you know, her mother with dementia might have said, and I remember this specifically from the podcast, the mother might say something like, "Oh, I see some monkeys," and I, you know, on the tree outside. And the husband would go, "Oh, what color are they?" And he would just go wherever the mother was. That's where he would go. And as the daughter, she kept looking for the mother to be who she was. She kept wanting her mother to go back to who they were as mother and daughter. She wanted to not honor the life that was in front of them, but she wanted her mother to remember her. She wanted her mother to remember their times together as a kid. And that wasn't going to happen. And that podcast had such a big impact on me, because from the time I stepped into the role and understood this was going to be a part of my life, right? A big part of my life. I never wanted my mother to be anybody but who she was at that moment. I did not spend any time, you know, saying to her, "Don't you remember?" I wanted to be present with her. And so that's, I would say that that's an important thing for a caregiver to be present. You know, that's that, that's one of those spiritual woohoos, you know, what is it, you know, enlightenment, what does it mean to be enlightened? It means to be present. And the opportunity to be present with the person you're caring for is a treasure. To not think about what could have been, or what could have been, what used to be, to be there with them, even in the most difficult times, even when they're experiencing pain, even, you know, when they're crying. It's difficult, but to be a witness, to be a witness to the person that you're caring for, the person that you love, and to be present with them in their life, it is gold. It is something that my brothers will never have. You know, they didn't have the challenges that they have. They didn't have the economic, you know, fallback that I had, but they also didn't have the opportunity to be present with another human being in a very, very challenging part of their life. And that's something that, you can't take that away from me. And I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying that it's profound. It's a profound experience of life.
Thank you for sharing that. And one reason that I wanted to do this podcast, I actually had an overwhelming feeling that came over me for a few weeks that wouldn't leave and said, do a podcast, do a podcast. So I reached out to a few people that I know. One of them was Eva Potts, who was the co-host. She has a lot going on in her life, so she's actually forming her nonprofit, and she's had to step back to focus on that. And a nonprofit is for people that actually have Charles-Bonnet syndrome. So it's similar to Judith Potts' nonprofit that she has in London, and there's no relation. They just both have the same Potts. Eva is here in the States. But one thing I like about podcasts is the fact that it's on demand. So if somebody is having an episode, what I'm going to say, and they're seeing some hallucinations or they're having a difficult time and it's the middle of the night, they can just pop open Apple Podcasts or whatever app that they use, and they can just listen to some podcasts and realize that they're not alone, or get a different perspective, or maybe get some encouragement or some information. So that's one of the things that is wonderful about a podcast. And I'm hoping that this continues to reach people and help them. I have a question, though. So if there was someone that is listening to this podcast and they actually have Charles-Bonnet syndrome or another chronic condition, and they're maybe having some conflict with the person that is caring for them, what would you tell them?
Wow. I currently work as a paid caregiver, and myself and even though we've been together now for over a year, my client and I will be in conflict from time to time. So it's really, I'm taking this very personally as a caregiver who would want to always show up to be supportive to my care, to the person on the receiving end of my care. And it doesn't always feel that way to them. I think that's just very difficult. It's very, I would say this is what I would, but this is my attitude towards life. And Shimon, I think you share it with me. At any given point in time, everybody is doing the best they can. I don't know if I always believe that, but I have adopted that as part of my life philosophy. And I find that it works, because it allows me to step back from what it is that they're doing that isn't working. And it allows me to just, again, to see them as a human being. And it allows me to let it go. So that's one thing that you can do in the moment if the person is not behaving in a way that allows you to feel comforted, or you're not getting the information you need, that you can manage your inner life in relationship to this person, you know, in terms of doing the best they can. On the other hand, not everyone fits into this role well. You know, if this person is a family member, it's a little harder. I know for myself, when I was hiring caregivers to support me caring for my mother, I didn't have a lot of money to pay for what the job is ideally worth for whoever I would have wanted. But I just kept interviewing until I found someone, until I found people who were going to care for my mother in the way that I felt she'd be comfortable with. And so if you are the care receiver and someone is not giving you the care, if it is possible to change caregivers, I don't know if they're paid caregivers, if someone's being paid, should absolutely continue to look for people to be in your space that you're comfortable with. If it's family members, it can be challenging. You can grow through the experience with them. And you also might want to reach out to someone else in the family who might be able to intercede so that the relationship can be better, because you already have enough stress. You don't need the stress of someone who's not comfortable being in the role. I don't know if I said anything helpful there, but yeah, that's a tough one. It's really tough.
Yeah, it actually was very helpful. And I agree with you. Some things don't have easy answers. Some things is really not even really an answer. I mean, there's always something to say, but being a caregiver is difficult. And having a chronic condition is difficult. And sometimes the mix of those two, depending on what the condition is and depending on how the caregiver's personality is or their resources or whatever they have in their mindset, can be difficult. So that was very helpful. I like when you said everybody's doing the best they can. And this makes life easier just to think that way. Because if you think negatively or think somebody's out to get you or something, it can make things so much harder. So that was very helpful.
And I'll say that I know that when, as a paid caregiver, when my care receiver is in a lot of pain, whether from she's multiple things going on, which she's in a lot of pain, it's different, right? It feels different being, being in that relationship, she doesn't speak the same way to me. So as a caregiver, my job is to be present there with her, with whatever the circumstance, and to do the best I can to provide that support regardless of, and to know that when she is in pain, that those days are going to feel differently than when she's not in pain.
So having some patience and giving some grace sounds like is another way that the way I interpreted what you were saying, you notice she's having a difficult day, so you're going to give her the benefit of the doubt, be a little more gentle, and maybe a little more mindful of that.
And to know that these things, but we're going to clash. We clash sometimes because when I walk in the door, I don't know what's going on. And I may start off one way and then she snaps back at me. And I'm thinking, well, why is she snapping? You know, it's not what I would expect because the day before it was different, right? But it's really about being, and that's why I think, you know, in many ways being, you know, one can, if one is able to, if you're at that point in your life where you can see this is kind of a spiritual journey that you are going to continue to be able to deal with different scenarios, different situations, and respond differently as people are coming at you. Because this is your life. This is your life. And when someone is coming at you in a way that you find difficult or annoying or not respectful, this is your life. How are you going to manage that? How are you going to deal with that? How are you going to grow with that? How are you going to be able to speak back in a way that de-escalates the situation? How are you going to respond back in a way that the person calms down, right? These are human. These are the gifts of human relationships that we don't learn, right? We don't learn. Our culture tends more to what we're doing on the outside and what did you buy and how much money did you make? And really learning these skills of human relationships, that's what the huge gift of stepping into the carer role was for me in ways that I never considered. And but the same thing, I think, when having a chronic medical condition, my mom's having a chronic medical condition invited me to grow in a way that I had not anticipated. Had she not been ill, had she not become incapacitated in those last 2.5 years of her life, she allowed me to come into her life. And then that allowed me to grow in a way that I had not anticipated. So for me, it's always, it was my life and my mother's life. It wasn't about me just helping her. It was about her having this incredible experience of life, which was very difficult. And then in that, doing that, she also supported me in growing as a human being.
That's so important what you just said too. If you hadn't experienced what you experienced with your mother in the last years of her life, you wouldn't have grown as a person. And I think of someone that wants to exercise or build their muscles, no pain, no gain. If you don't feel some tension and you don't push through, you won't grow. So that's a good analogy for life.
And I am more loving, more outgoing, more extroverted, more expressive than I ever was when I stepped into the role. And I did not know that that was even important for me, because that's not who I was. That's not how I showed up in the world. I didn't know. But again, I really just being willing, once I stepped into the role and I said, I'm here, let me make the best of it, because it is possible. It is possible to be resentful through the entire experience. I'm the only daughter. I'm the only one. I'm the only one. And I've met people for whom that is true. I had friends who were like that, and I determined that was not going to be me.
Wow, that is some great advice. Where can people find your book? Where can they buy your book?
So my book, Six Life Hacks for Family Caregivers, is on Amazon. And both the soft cover version, and it's not very long. It's basically just 6 chapters that you can just go in any, just dig into any chapter that you think could be helpful. Most 3 of them are about mindset shifts. 1, I do talk about the 6 stages of caregiving. I think you mentioned earlier that the caregiving is a universal experience. There are 6 stages of caregiving that every caregiver goes through, whether it's for a period of 3 months or whether you are in the role for 20, 30 years. I did not find out about these 6 stages until after my mom passed. So in the book, I talk about the 6 stages of caregiving. I also talk about it as a hero's journey. People often misunderstand what that language is. It's not being a hero. It's for what you did for someone else. So I talk about those things in the book. And I absolutely recommend, if you're interested in coaching yourself through the experience, that's what it designs to do.
When I go to Charles-Bonnet Syndrome support groups, there's actually a caregiver support group that follows the Charles-Bonnet Syndrome support group at 12 p.m. Saturday, 12 noon. And then there's a caregivers group that's at 1 p.m. And that's Dr. Gary Cusick. He runs both of those groups. But sometimes I hear people that need more support. And I do mention your group. I don't know if anyone's joined, but I'm going to mention your website. So it's actually TanyaStraker.com, like we mentioned before. And that's TanyaStraker.com. And I'm going to put that information in the show notes in case anybody wants to look you up and maybe book some time with you, or maybe there's a link on there to actually join the caregivers group. So I'm definitely going to put that in the show notes. So this has been very helpful. The things that you said have helped me. Your group has helped me. And is there anything that you would like to say in closing?
So yeah, it's actually a new idea, but I do want to, it's one of the things that I advocate for, and I just want people, caregivers, to respect this, that very often we are seen by people as, you know, good daughters, good sons, wives, husbands. And in fact, there are seven professional roles that we play. And I just want all carers to respect that we are a head of house, and you make final decisions that impact life and death. You are an aging care manager. You find resources and put those resources in place. You are a medical trustee because you care about the advanced directives, et cetera. You're a financial trustee because you are caring and protecting someone's assets. You might move into the nursing role. You are looking for UTIs and if it's an older adult. And right, you need to be concerned about how body temperature for an older person. You're an allied health professional. You might be helping with physical mobility, speech therapy, occupational therapy. And you're doing many personal tasks, grocery shopping, like a home health aide. I just want, you know, from the outside, it's like, oh, you're a good whatever. Yes. And you're also playing multiple professional roles. And often that is what can get frustrating, is not having that clarity about all the roles that you're playing under the rubric of a good daughter, good son, or, you know, good caregiver, husband, wife, et cetera, cousin, sister, brother. So I just want people to respect that it is a multifaceted role, and just to acknowledge yourself, and even if others don't appreciate all of that you do.
Thank you. Because sometimes we don't even realize what we're really doing until we actually, like you said, your mother had already passed away before you actually realized, whoa, I was a caregiver. Whoa, this is what I did, kind of process that. So I wasn't even aware of all those seven steps and everything and all the different things that we're doing. Sometimes you just wake up and you just do it, you know? So it's really good to, when someone can frame it like you just did, to really break it down. And then you start to understand, okay, well, that's why I'm tired. Or maybe I need to work on this skill, or maybe I need to find someone who can do this because I'm not good at that. And that's very helpful. That's why I'm glad that I had you on. I knew that this would be an insightful interview. You shared a lot of positive things. Maybe I can have you on in the future. And I hope your things that you have, your groups and offerings, continue to grow. And certainly, I hope, I know I say this a lot, I'm putting you on the spot, but I'm hoping you can find another time slot, because I used to be able to attend her group regularly, but now because of my new work schedule, I'm not. And I know you'll do the best you can for you and what works for, you know, for you, but it's so helpful. And maybe in the future you'll have a, you know, an additional evening slot or weekend slot.
Well, you know, and let me say something. I'm trying out something right now. It's a beta group, and we met first by accident on a Saturday night at 7 o'clock. So the second time I did it, Saturday night at 7 o'clock, and I didn't think anybody would come. And when I said, they said, oh, I want an intro to Canva class. I'm doing an intro to Canva class tonight. And I said, well, when? And they said, well, Saturday night, because that's the only time I get for myself. And I thought, bingo, I'm doing work for caregivers. Yes, they will get on it. They will do a class with me on a Saturday night. So I am looking to make much more of that available as I go forward.
That's amazing. It's good to have that option for evening or weekend. And I'm glad it's working with the beta. That's a good thing about beta. You try it out and see. And I'm sure your Canva class is going to be good. I've been on another workshop that you had about vision boards. And there's a lot of information that you share. So people, I'm sure, will reach out through your website. And what's your email address? Are you comfortable sharing that?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And you can reach out to me. I'm doing a lot of, as I said, with my beta, I'm doing a lot of reaching out and working with people one-to-one. So absolutely, please reach out to me, tstraker@outlook.com. And if there's any way I can support you, I would love to.
Okay. And I'll put that in the show notes also, the information, your email, your website, and all of the links so people can contact you. This was great. And thank you for your time. And thank you for all that you do. And Enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you.
Thank you.